This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to do that. Again, that's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki,
and Bonnie.
And we're changing a lot with the show. I would say unofficially, this hour is brought to you by Bully and Max. Now, obviously, the way that we... Bully and Max is an older advertiser, so they haven't signed up with the whole "this hour is brought to you by" sort of thing, but that's what we'd like to move forward toward, because that makes more sense to us as a show, and it gives us a stronger focus. It allows for a stronger cohesion. Like Call to Freedom, we used to have what was called the Crypto Hour each day, where we talked about cryptocurrency news and things like that, and that hour in particular was sponsored by some cryptocurrency. I want to say it was Vertcoin, but it wasn't Vertcoin, it was someone else.
Well, I've never even heard of that.
Vertcoin was interesting. They were interesting. I don't remember the specifics now. This was a long time ago.
I remember Divi. That's as far back as I remember.
Yeah, Divi was Free Talk Live. Call to Freedom had Vertcoin and something else. Anyway, and that particular hour was always brought to you by that particular cryptocurrency, and it sort of gave a cohesion. Anyway, BullionMax.com. I received the email today that they have shipped my free silverback, and
yay,
I would not have become aware of this if Ian hadn't pointed out that he received the email, because for whatever reason, Bully and Max's emails are going directly into my spam folder, and I tend to not check that. But they did send it out today, so presumably it should arrive. And also included is a bonus, a little surprise bonus for me. I don't know what it could possibly be. I'm assuming it's a goldback, but that's a pricey additional prize. But then again, the silverback here is valued at $10, so, I mean, it doesn't have $10 for the silver, and it's got fractions of a penny of silver in it, I think. I don't remember the exact amount, but it's valued. If you wanted to buy...
I'd buy that for $10.
If you want to buy a silverback online at BullionMax.com, you can do that, by the way. It's going to cost you $10. That's the MSRP on it. So if they're already giving you a $10 silverback, maybe they did throw in a $4-ish goldback. I cannot imagine what else they would have included.
It has to be something small, because I just pulled up mine. It says, "We can't tell you what it is here," which is kind of weird. It makes me laugh. But then it says, "You have to open the package to see. Check inside left flap of the silverback holder," which is probably that plastic thing. So it has to be something small and possibly flat. So I think you could be onto something.
I don't know. I will let people know as soon as I get it. I guess I'm expecting it within the next few days. I don't remember. I ordered the BullionMax.com/FTL Silver Starter Kit, which is their Silver Starter Kit. You get 5 pieces of silver at employee pricing. It's a fantastic deal. 1 per household, so I can't order a second one, sadly, even though I would like a second one. However, I seem to recall that arrived pretty quickly after I finally remember, because I remember talking about it and I wanted to order it, and it took me weeks to actually remember to go home and order it. And then I finally did, and I received one, I want to say fairly quickly, and I still have it, and it's some of my prized silver pieces. I don't have a whole lot of silver, but I do have some silver. And of the pieces that I have, those are the ones that I would show someone if they came over, right? Now, the silver that I have that I wouldn't show people, like that I bought from Silver Dave or whatever, it's not as pretty. It's silver, sure, and it does exactly what you would want silver to do, but it's like literally just a chunk of silver.
So. I have some coins from Silver Dave's. Some of his is pretty cool, but I know what you mean about the chunks I've seen.
Yeah, this is just a silver bar, basically. And, you know, it does exactly, it's exactly what it said on the tin. That's exactly what I wanted it for. But it's not going to be something I show to someone if they want to say, "Hey, I heard you like going to silver." Like, yeah, look at this beautiful piece, right? Here's a chunk of silver. Enjoy. But the silverback is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Is they partnered with, like, I think they were called Black Dragons or something, some company that did the artwork. I don't remember. But bullionmax.com/FTL, you can get the Wyoming Goldbacks there, the new Wyoming Goldbacks. I still have to order some of these because I have a full set of the Utahs, the Nevadas, and lots of the New Hampshires. Through fluke, I've ended up with a lot more of the Utahs than I did anything else and a lot more of the Nevadas. But I prefer the New Hampshires, but I want a full set of each, right? Just not for the collector because it's literal gold, so it's useful to me, but... because they're beautiful. I like the art aspect of it. So
I love gold probably more than silver, but I just think that this silver is so cool because it has, like, the pretty design on it, and it's, like, flat, so you can see a lot. Like, a little piece of silver is not very interesting. A big, flat piece is so cool.
I don't know. I tend to think... I think silver is prettier than gold, honestly.
Me too.
If I had to choose between the two.
I'm definitely a gold person. Like, I think that my skin is probably slightly more cool. Like, I think it's kind of on the neutral side. Like, I always have to buy neutral foundations. But I think it's a little more cool and probably should. I should have gotten a silver wedding ring, but I just love gold so much more, so...
I was going to say, I could see you wearing a silver necklace that would fit better than a... that would look... match your complexion better or complement your complexion better than a gold one. But, I mean, with the ring, you can get whatever ring you want, right?
Right, right. Exactly. I didn't think that it was going to be so, like, it's clashing with your skin. It was just, like, maybe a silver would be, like, technically, like, if a professional looked at me and decided which one. I just love... gold. It's
Isn't
so pretty.
That such a weird concept? Like, oh, like this is what you're supposed to wear because of your skin tone and your undertones, and I'm the professional that's going to tell you.
Well, what is a professional know? Though, right? One of the earliest pieces of advice I got about makeup was if you have blue eyes, never, ever, ever wear blue eyeshadow. But I do it all the time, and it works just fine. So, I mean, what
you're supposed to wear. Yeah, there's, like, certain eyeshadow colors. Like, if you have green eyes, you're supposed to wear gold or brown because it makes your eyes pop.
But, yeah. Well, what do they know? Everything's different for each person.
I think that those things, like, can be helpful in a certain way, but it's, like, people have changed their opinions on what to do with makeup so many times in the last, like, decades. It's, like... getting better and better all the time.
Excellent point. Let's go to the phones, however, because that is what we do here on Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in. We have Major Payne on the line from Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, Bonnie, as far as your wedding ring conundrum and gold, I would suggest white gold.
No. I know what you mean. I like that, too, and it's pretty, but I just like the color of the gold. And it's not replicatable, right? It's only so nice when it's actual gold. Like, you can't see a picture of gold. You can't see something that's colored gold and it be as amazing as real gold.
Well, and I think with the emerald ring, I think gold goes better with that. You know, it pairs nicely.
You were talking about it clashing with your skin, and it's a little lighter tone of gold. That was, I guess, my point. But,
well, to a certain extent, you want things that come that, you know, clash with your skin, right? You wouldn't want a color of ring, and like if your skin is more goldish, you wouldn't want a gold ring because it would blend in too much with your skin, or it'd be too similar, but just wrong enough to not look good. This is why they suggest blue eye. People shouldn't wear blue eyeshadow because if the shades are close but not quite right, it clashes.
Yeah, I think that so many, like, older people give you advice about makeup or jewelry and stuff like that because, like, you don't want to look strange, and it's like people don't care anymore about that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, why ever would I want to look strange?
Yeah. I don't think people care about that at all. Like, people now completely draw thick lines of eyeliner on their face, and it's, you know, normal. Doesn't look strange to anyone.
Some people do entire paintings on their face with, like, makeup and stuff, and some of it looks fantastic, like... I wouldn't wear it. Then I wouldn't want to spend 8 hours doing my makeup ever, much less, like, even if I only do it once a year, it's like, God, man, I would literally rather do anything else than 8 hours of makeup.
That's why I can't be goth.
Yeah, I do my makeup the same way almost every single day, and I've got it down to an art or a science or whatever, whichever one makes the most sense for me to take, like, 5 minutes to do it.
That's what I feel, too, and I still sometimes I'm like, ugh, I don't want to go upstairs and do my makeup right now. And then sometimes it's, like, relaxing. Sometimes I do it, like, for fun and, like, do more. But as far as just, like, my everyday stuff, Yeah, I have it down.
Something tells me that Major Payne probably didn't call in to talk about makeup.
I was going to ask if he had any makeup advice, but I'm assuming he doesn't. Well,
the only thing I would say is every man appreciates a good-looking woman wearing a modicum of makeup. But I have seen some girls wearing so much war paint. It's like, when are you gonna jump the res? You know,
jump the res.
So I mean, like some.
Yeah, that's what they call it when the Indians go off the reservation
to fight or something. Oh.
Okay.
Too much war paint.
Okay, I've never considered makeup to be war paint, but.
Well, I mean, you think about it, ain't they?
It's not inaccurate.
It's more out there.
I just never really. It can be, right? And I mean, especially if you ask the Zennials and the Zoomers out there who are like too terrified to make eye contact with the guy at a bar. Like, this is a war zone. I got PTSD now.
I actually wore blue eyeliner the night I met Ian, or eyeshadow. And I was doing my makeup, and my roommate, I didn't tell her like what I was doing. And I was going with my male friends, because I feel like my female friend who's like my age or a little bit younger than me might be like, you don't want to go meet a guy, that's dangerous, because that's how people are nowadays, like, especially.
All right, girls, let me try to get where I was going here, will you?
Okay.
So, what you guys were all talking about earlier, I got a Webster's Dictionary of quotes
to reiterate. That was about homosexuality and just the normalization of Christianity, right, and straight people throughout the United States.
I'm coming to the index, and the closest word I could find dealing with what you guys are talking about is morality. Okay? So the first quote I got from me, I got about four of them, and the last one I think is probably one of the better ones. The first one's from Ernest Hemingway. I know only that what is moral is what you feel good after, and what is immoral is what you feel bad at.
That's a pretty good way of looking at it. Like, if you feel guilty afterward, then you did something immoral.
I don't know. Some people are psychopaths and never feel guilty after killing someone.
That's true. And the first time I had any sort of sexual activity with a guy, I felt so much guilt afterward. But that was because of religious programming and not because of any morality or immorality. So I don't know about that one.
The next one's from Samuel Johnson, who I know not who the man is, but there's a lot of old names in here. I do not know who these guys are. They teach the morals of a whore and the manners of a dancing master. That just kind of made me go, So the next one is from Thomas.
It sounds like Martin Luther kind of thing. You said that was Samuel Johnson?
No, Samuel Johnson. That's the dude's name.
I'm just looking up him real quick, because that sounds like something that like Martin Luther, the former Christian, would have, the Christian figure would have said.
Who left Catholicism?
The next one is from Thomas Babington Macaulay, which I would assume would be an Irish implant to England.
Maybe.
Because he says, we know of no spectacle so ridiculous as the British public in one of its periodical fits of morality. That one just made me laugh.
That's what's going on right now with the right-wingers. They're having a periodic fit of morality with the whole groomer
and trans
drag
thing,
show thing. It's so stupid. So
it is amazing to me. Hold on, Major. It is amazing to me that, like, on the Free Talk Live TikTok that we talked about, the drag queen story that we did, despite having been banned and then brought back, it's sitting at like 15,000 views or something like that. And none of the other videos we did, like the AI art video that I put up recently, I was sure that was going to be at least as successful because it's such a hot topic right now. But it only got about 10% of the views. It's sitting at somewhere around 1,500 right now. It's just the drag queen, the moral panic around drag queens right now, it's real. It's pervasive. It's out there. And people are freaking out about it.
Moral panic is a great word, because it's like the satanic panic, but this time it's drag queens.
Panic at the drag show.
You're going to like this next one. This one, next one is just a short but a sweet. It's from H.G. Wells. Moral indignation is jealousy with a halo, he says.
Yeah, I'd have to give that one some thought a bit, because, it's deep, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. It is. The last one, and I think this one's pretty good. This is from Alfred North Whitehead. What is moral in any given time or place? It is what is the majority then and there happen to like. And immorality is what they dislike.
I don't know. I can't agree, because it's like...
That is herd mentality, and that is what drives the damn bus.
But is it the truth? Is it really what morality is? I don't think it is. I think it's just what those people are using to justify it.
At any given time or place.
No, I get what it's saying.
I mean, people once, you know, felt like slavery was okay, but I would still argue that that didn't make slavery moral.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel. I feel that morality is objective, not subjective, but some people vehemently disagree.
I think it's subjective, but I think the standards by which I determine what is and isn't moral transcends a given time or space, and it is based more on principles and compassion than it is anything else. To me, that's the subjectivity of it. Yes, I determined that this thing is moral or this thing is immoral, and I don't think that's coming to me from a god or some external source or whatever. I think it's 100% subjective, but I could be wrong.
I guess in that way, I could see why it would be called subjective, because I think that it comes from me, but it comes from different parts of me than, I mean, parts of me that are, you know, like, ancient. Like, your DNA is basically, like, I mean, you were inside your, like, grandmother at one point because your mom's eggs were all formed before she was born. Like, yeah, you're part of your ancestors, you're part of the universe, and I don't think that slavery could have ever been fine if the whole world agreed that it was fine, you know?
I agree entirely. Very, very well said, Bonnie. It's certainly a difficult thing to say what is and isn't moral. Like, most people right now are totally fine with, you know, widespread industrialized animal farming, or they at least turn a blind eye to it because they don't want to look at it. But, like, we're going to be judged by that. Future generations are going to look at the Tyson factory farms, and they're going to judge us at least as badly as we judge the slave owners from the 18th century and the 17th century, or the 16th, whatever century I'm thinking of. But people's morals change over time, but that doesn't make what society deems to be moral or immoral changes over time. But I don't think that has any impact on what actually is and isn't moral. I think a good moral compass is just compassion and empathy. Let that be your moral compass. If you need anything more than empathy to be a moral compass, then you're probably immoral in the first place. Like, I don't need a God to tell me what is and isn't moral. I don't need a Bible because I have empathy. And I can empathize with other people and their suffering. I can go, okay, well, that would be immoral because I wouldn't want it done to me. Do unto others as you would have them done, as you would have them do unto you, as Christ said, and his countless other religious figures have said. To me, that works just fine as a guidepost for morality. But
I agree.
But people disagree on this, and this is what I don't understand about Christians who think that, you know, without God or without the Bible or without Christianity, we would all be doing this or that. It's like, really? That's a weird way of saying that you have no internal moral compass.
Well, and that's the thing. If you need the threat, you know, the fear of God to be a good person, that means you're not a good person.
Excellently said. And thank you so much for the call tonight, Major. But things that are not so excellently said are pretty much anything coming from the federal government. But I've got this article here about what the feds are teaching in diversity training. And I don't know how to feel about this one, right?
What is diversity training, first of all?
It's where they train you how to tolerate and accept and how to work with people who are trans or LGBTQ or black or whatever minority one wants to insert, right? It's training you to adapt to diversity in the workplace. And I'm torn on the subject because on the one hand, yes, I think it's silly for anyone to spend money having a seminar about men getting pregnant. On the other hand, this is the federal government, and if there is any institution to which I am going to allow absolutely no slack when it comes to how they treat minorities, it's going to be the federal government, right? My own personal experience with people is I don't care if an individual out there wants to call me a male or wants to call me he, him, whatever. I don't care. I would rather they not do that, but that's their right, and I'm not going to argue with them, and I'm not going to spend any time trying to convince them otherwise.
This shows you who they are.
Sure. But when it comes to the federal government, they don't get that same slack because they're tyrants, they're thugs, they put a gun to people's heads, they do what they do through the application of force and violence. And anywhere where they have, where they can be held accountable, had their feet held to the fire, I think is somewhere where one should hold their feet to the fire. So I don't know how to feel about diversity training. In general, I think it's silly and useless, and it's probably not doing any good. But when it comes to the federal government, I don't know. I kind of want them wasting their resources on this.
Right.
And
that's what I was thinking, too.
I wouldn't want an employer out there to be forced to say that a man can get pregnant. But I'm okay with the government being forced to say that and government employees being forced because their entire livelihoods are around forcing other people to do and say certain things. So let's get into it here. Asking an Asian person for math help is a microaggression, according to this article here from the Washington Free Beacon, which I've never heard of before. Presumably this is because stereotypically, Asian people are good at math.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's where they're going with that.
But what if I'm just asking people in general for help with math? Like, I ask five people for help with math, and one of them happens to be Asian.
It's like a horribly worded thing. I think it should have said something like, joking that an Asian person would be better at math for being Asian is a microaggression.
But that's not what they mean, though. They mean even asking an Asian person, which is what's... I've seen this happening a lot where people are trying so hard not to be racist that they come full circle and they're being even more racist than regular racist people.
That's a good
point.
Because going like, I will not ask her that question because I might be seeming racist is like, they're probably sitting there like, why didn't they ask me?
Yeah, it's like, just be a normal person. Like, it's just strange to me that people need to be taught these sort of things. You know,
I mean, I think the point you're making is that if you're asking someone for help with math, but you don't ask this person the same question that you would ordinarily ask everyone else, and you don't ask them that because they're Asian.
Yeah, that's a microaggression.
Then that's definitively racist. You are treating them differently because of their race. And I don't know how else to characterize that except being racist.
Well, and like Bonnie said, it's like, if you're going to assume that someone is good at math because they're Asian, okay, yeah, that is, you know, making a stereotype, whatever, that could be considered racist.
But what about assuming that someone is good at math because they're from a culture that encourages hard work and tends to push their kids toward excellence, as Asian culture tends to do? I don't know, right?
Maybe you should just know something about the person. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't know anything about this person, you just assume they're good at math, that's crazy. Like, for all you know, they're like third generation and their parents don't care about any of that, you know?
I don't know. Reverse racism does not exist and men can get pregnant. This discussion is coming up about how the federal government is being trained to be diverse. It's Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. The vote for Speaker of the House failed to get enough votes for Kevin McCarthy. Pennsylvania's Scott Perry spoke to his colleagues.
Because we all acknowledge and we all know that Washington is broken, we must take a new path. There are
There must be a new vision.
The 118th Congress adjourned this afternoon after the sixth round of voting. They just reconvened this hour. The man behind the Varsity Blues college admissions cheating scandal is being sentenced to 3.5 years in federal prison. Rick Singer worked with celebrities including Lori Loughlin, Felicity Huffman to get corrupt school officials and coaches to admit their kids in the prestigious universities. Singer was sentenced in U.S. District Court in Boston. Sales are picking up at convenience stores across the U.S. as Mega Millions rolls over to $940 million for Friday night. Dave Collins, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering next drive.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever is important to you. That's 603-283-6160 if you'd like to do that. Again, that's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Nikki, and Bonnie.
And government schooling is a failed institution. One out of five graduates are functionally illiterate. To give you an example, I remember when we discussed this, and we actually spent several minutes trying to figure out whether or not it should be one out of five graduates is functionally illiterate, right? Like, it's and 75%, maybe it was the other one, 75% of high school students are unhappy. Oh, I don't remember exactly which sentence it was, but, like, we're not functionally illiterate by any means here at Free Talk Live, but, like, the education system failed us so badly that we had to sit down and be like, wait a minute, wait, we need to Google this to make sure we're doing it correctly, because the education system in the United States, it sucks. So much so that 19% of high school students are considering suicide. Stop subjecting your children to this craziness. Your kids can have the same education available at Oxford at an affordable price. A highly acclaimed and globally known educator launched an online academy called The Socratic Experience, where students learn through philosophical dialogue and are engaged in a highly social and inspiring learning environment. The Socratic Experience nurtures your child's unique genius. Mention Free Talk Live and get 20% off your first year's tuition. Go to SocraticExperience.com/FTL. That's thecrediteexperience.com/FTL to download the Parents Guide. We're grateful to be sharing such a significant discount with your listeners. That's 20% off your first year's tuition, because I suspect most of the people out there listening, they're not fans of public education either. I never lose an opportunity to rail against public education. Like today, as I mentioned earlier, I had to meet with an evaluative therapist again, and sure enough, at some point in there, you know, I was asked about school, and I was like, well, I liked school for the first few years, after which the curriculum was so repetitive mm-hmm. and so tedious that it stopped being engaging, and I stopped paying any attention to it, and my grades began declining. It's not because I got dumber as I got older. It's because, okay, we learned multiplication last year.
Yeah, but it's
like, can you teach me something new?
You probably got it right away. And majority of the kids whose parents didn't help them or who just weren't naturally as intelligent as you or whatever just didn't get it right away. I remember when we first started learning multiplication too, and I felt the same way. Like, I felt like we've been doing this forever. I know all of these by heart, and other kids haven't even started to grasp the concept yet. Like, why do I have to keep doing multiplication forever?
Well, and that's the point. You're only, like, the group is only as strong as the weakest link. So if it's really just holding children back, and those children that aren't as intelligent really need more one-on-one.
Absolutely.
You know, need more one-on-one education. So even the dumber kids, that's kind of mean, but whatever.
Well,
it's holding everyone back. It's not, large classroom sizes aren't really good for anyone, I don't think.
And when I was a kid, starting in like fifth grade, they would break us into like the advanced kids, the medium kids, and the slowest kids that needed the most help. And that was helpful because like we'd be reading higher level books in our reading classes and doing better math than the slowest kids. But they have now decided that that's racist and they don't have advanced and medium. Everyone's the same. It's like that is doing exactly what Nikki said, making everyone as slow as the slowest kid.
Well, and what happens is the more intelligent kids, they're not stimulated. So like Aria said, you know, your grades start declining because you're not paying attention. You're doing other things.
Why should you pay attention? Right?
You know, exactly. So like I remember in high school, I skipped class all the time because I was bored and I would go hide in the library and read. You know, I wasn't doing anything bad. I was just trying to learn. So I'm like, I'll read all these history books and all this other stuff. Because what I'm learning, I know geometry. I'm not going to that class. I want to learn something new. I want to be stimulated. And I think a lot of children and teens are feeling that way.
I think English classes are probably one of the worst examples I can think of, because I got excellent grades in all of my English classes long after I stopped paying attention. Like my ninth grade English class, I passed with a 100, and I literally just sat at the computer writing a novel every single day. And the justification for that was that, well, I was doing English, and I was demonstrating a mastery of the concepts without having to actually do those particular assignments. Well, while everyone else was, you know, where do you need to use a comma in this sentence? I was over there writing a book. It was terrible. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it was terrible. There's no surviving.
You knew
that for your age.
Yeah, but I knew where to put the comma, right? And it's like, if you're in the ninth grade and you still don't know how to use a comma, then another year of it's not going to help you. Mathematics was the same way. It wasn't until my ninth grade year of schooling that we actually got into new concepts in mathematics. And that was when I took, I think, geometry. I think other than that, it was all just multiplication, division, and some variables here and there. Pre-algebra, algebra, all of that, multiplication. Prior to that, it was the same crap year after year. Yeah, it started with addition and subtraction in first and second grade or whatever, but why in the sixth grade were we still learning multiplication, addition, and subtraction? The students who had mastered it 3 years ago were bored out of their minds. But because some people didn't get it the first time, they had to get it hammered into their head again. And you know what? Those same people are adults now, and they still don't get it.
Mm-hmm. And maybe math just isn't what they should be spending any moment of their time on. Like, some people will never need math in their life. They're masters at something else, though, and they're productive members of society. It's like, why can't kids just be like, you know, I'm not getting this math thing. I'm going to opt out of this class and spend my time on all English or, you know, whatever.
That would have been fantastic, but no, that's not the way the public school system is set up. I mean, the public school system, as I understand it, it was designed to be as factory-like as possible, to churn out kids who are as, there to be unthinking, automaton, smart enough to follow orders and dumb enough to quit, and dumb enough to follow them, I think is, dumb enough and smart enough to just follow orders, I think is what I'm trying to say. And the Socratic experience, presumably, will help you educate your kids in a way that is better than the public school system. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing it could do that's worse.
Yeah, literally.
Because the public school system is such a complete waste of time. I don't know anyone who looks back on their life, man, thank God I had that public education, that got that high school diploma to see me through life, because it really prepared me for the trials and tribulations ahead. It just, it hasn't happened. And I don't think it will ever happen. But before we get into that, we were talking about the Free Beacon article here about diversity training among the feds. And among those, we're asking an Asian person for math help is a microaggression. Reverse racism does not exist, and men can get pregnant.
Reverse racism, is that racism against white people?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
I would suggest that reverse racism also does not exist because there's just racism.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly. It's not reverse racism, it's just racism.
Right. But that's because we're part of the new racism definition, people. We're like, it's racist to do that, and it doesn't have any of the superiority or inferiority aspects. So it's like treating this Asian person as different, as being better at mathematics, is racist, according to my worldview, and I presume the two of you feel the same way. Whereas under the classic definition, that's not considered racist because you're not saying they're inferior because of their race. You're saying they're superior. But to me, it's still racist. These are just a few of the lessons imparted to government workers in diversity trainings and presentations in 2021, according to documents obtained by the Wall Street Journal. The materials summarized in a December 30th editorial show how once fringe ideas have saturated the federal bureaucracy, from the Department of Veteran Affairs to NASA and the military. One NASA training states that efforts to be colorblind actually limit us. And I understand where they're coming from with this. I don't know if I agree or disagree, because I haven't given it that much thought. And honestly, there are bigger fish to fry in my life than whether or not being colorblind is a good thing or a bad thing. But the idea is that if you're colorblind, then you don't recognize the disadvantages that black Americans have had foisted upon them by the institutions of the United States. That's the idea behind that. And because you're colorblind, you don't recognize the hardships that they've had to deal with, and that's a bad thing.
I agree with that, and I also think it's important to celebrate other cultures and, you know, even celebrate other, you know, other appearances, like skin colors and all sorts of things. I think treating everybody the same is never a good thing, or very rarely a good thing, I should say.
I don't want to go into life assuming every black person that I see has been oppressed in their life, because like most of the ones I've ever talked to about the subject will tell me, like a friend of mine that went to high school with me, like never ever felt different for being black in her life. Like it depends on the person. That's the thing. For me, it's racist to treat someone like a certain way based on their color, because you're not treating them as an individual person. Like the next black person I talk to could probably say, yeah, I felt, you know, oppressed by my whole town the whole time. I mean, I've heard, you know,
yeah,
stories both ways, but it depends on the person, not their race. I'm not my race. And it's so weird to think of that. Like, the idea that people would just think of me as just white is so freaking weird. Like, I'm just like all other white people. Like, I've never just felt like, oh, me and other white people, when I see them, I'm like, thank God there's a white person here. Like, I don't think about that with other white people at all. Like, I don't know.
It probably varies a lot from one place to the other. I imagine that that a black person in like Robinsonville, that's Tunica, Mississippi, is going to have a very different experience from a black person in like Keene, New Hampshire. So I imagine they do feel more oppression and more racism in certain places, but that certainly doesn't suggest that every single black American has had to give up their seat on the bus, right?
Yeah.
That not every black person is Rosa Parks. And not every trans person is I can't think of a famous trans person. Caitlyn Jenner wants it to be her, but it is so definitively not Caitlyn Jenner that I don't know what to say.
I thought she was the spokesperson for all trans people.
I mean, obviously you're being facetious.
Yeah.
I don't know a single trans person that's like, oh, thank God Caitlyn Jenner's up there talking on our behalf. Every single one of them is like, no, look, Caitlyn Jenner doesn't have any, she doesn't represent us. She doesn't. We have no common ground with her aside from the fact that we both are trans. That's the full extent of what we have in common. But I mean, Caitlyn Jenner, she wants it to be her. She wants to be the Rosa Parks of the trans movement, but she.
I don't even get it.
She still isn't.
Maybe it's just a rich person complex, like been rich their whole life and they don't understand what, you know, it's like, you know, to be a normal person.
The best example of Caitlyn Jenner being this way is when Donald Trump said that any trans person can use whatever bathroom they want in his establishment. It's like, cool, great, right? At the same time, the reason that this was even being discussed was because the state of North Carolina mm-hmm. or South Carolina or West Virginia or Virginia, one of these states in the southeastern part of the United States, had just passed a law that that people have to use the public restroom that is denoted on their birth certificate. So if your sex said male, then you had to use the men's room in this state. Even though there's no such thing as an actual public restroom, there are only privately owned restrooms, and it's up to that private property owner to determine what the rules are on their bathroom. But let's put that aside, and let's forget about how Republicans were tramping over private property rights because it was convenient to them to push their agenda. This state had this rule that if you were had female on your birth certificate, you had to use the women's room, and if you had men, you had to use the men's room. Instead of going to this state where she would have actually had something at risk, instead of making a show of going, I'm Caitlyn Jenner, I'm a trans woman, and I'm going to North Carolina to use the women's restroom at this Arby's or whatever, and if I get arrested by police, then so be it, and I will fight that fight then. Instead of doing that, she went to Trump Tower in Vegas and used the women's room there, knowing full well.
That had nothing to do with Trump.
No, well, it didn't matter whether it did or not. Trump had already said that trans people in his buildings could use whatever bathroom she wanted. She wanted to be Rosa Parks, but she would only sit on the bus where she was already told that she could sit wherever she wanted.
That's so weird. I never even heard that story.
Yeah, she did it. She made a video showing her walking into Trump Tower to go, or whatever property it was, to go in there and use the women's room. But like,
it's so embarrassing.
But like, he had just said, and the whole reason she was doing it because he had said that she could do it. Instead of going to North Carolina, where it would have actually created a scene, where it could have actually caused a problem, where she could have done something to actually fight for the rights of trans people. So anyway, she wants it to be her, but it isn't her. I don't remember how I got into that at this point.
We're saying not every black person is Rosa Parks.
Yes, yeah. And not every trans person is whoever, yeah.
And, like, the idea of being black and people treating me that way when I don't feel that way myself is so cringe. And one thing I love about Kanye's wearing a White Lives Matter shirt, it gave you kind okay. of a taste
Before
of what
he
that...
Before jumped the shark.
Yeah, sure. But it gave you kind of a taste of the cringe you might feel if... Imagine if, in a parallel universe, people were all treating white people the way that the media wants us all to treat black people. Like, some people are going to be like, oh, yeah, I like this, and I'm glad that, you know, whatever, the Black Lives Matter thing is happening. But some people are probably, like, really cringed out by it. Like, I've never... most people that I told that I was Ukrainian to before were like, what's that? Is it Middle Eastern or European or what? And
it's Eastern European. Well, so, I mean, if you take a part of one and a part of the other and combine it together.
And now it's just like it's a miniature version of what happened during 2020 on Black Lives Matter. But I've started to realize like people talking like that about a whole group of people, like even if if they're meaning well, like, oh, we have to help them because they're just helpless, is so freaking weird.
It is. It's like the white savior thing.
Yeah.
And if you ask most black people, they're like, we don't need, like,
right.
You know, it's like you don't need to defend other people like that. It's just, it's weird.
It is a white savior thing, and that goes back a very long way to at least Andrew Jackson and the concept of white man's burden, which was that it was the burden of the white man to go around and take over the Philippines and these other places. Manifest destiny. The white man has to save the other races, right? The white savior complex and this whole mentality of, we can't have voter IDs laws because black Americans, they don't know how to find the DMV.
How is that not racist? And I said it earlier in the show, certain people are trying so hard to not be racist that they come full circle and they're being even more racist than the actual racist people.
It's absolutely amazing. Racist, and I have never met a single black person who wanted those divides that we're seeing in the United States. I've never met a single...
I'm sure they're out there, of course, but I haven't met anybody that felt that way.
I think I probably have met some white people who want those divides, but the reason they want those divides is because of what they perceive to be pushes from the left for them to feel inferior or to feel evil or like they've done something wrong. Because they're white. So they go the opposite direction and become racist. And I know some white people who are like that. But just in and of itself, I don't know anyone who's like, I think white people should feel guilty for slavery or whatever. Insert whatever. However, I have seen these people online. You mentioned cringy. Yesterday, for whatever reason, I ended up looking at one of my old blogs from a very, very long time ago. And not what I said wasn't cringy. There's plenty of cringy stuff on there from me, but this wasn't that particular example. I had taken a screenshot of a friend of mine at the time who was talking about how much she hated white people. And it's just about how gross they were and how disgusting they were and how evil and blah, 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 blah. And like, bitch, you are whiter than I am.
Well,
right? She was the whitest person I've ever seen. Just completely white. Her name might as well have been Brittany. She was she was a straight up white. No minority in her whatsoever. But that didn't stop her from just going off at
no,
white.
I know a lot of white people like that, where they're like, oh, it's one thing if it's funny, if it's a joke. It's like, oh, stuff white people do. Like, oh, only a white person would do this.
Yeah,
like,
let's saying that to Mark.
You know, like, that type of stuff is funny.
Yes.
But when people are seriously, like, self-hatred, like, we are evil, it's really,
but see, they don't
really
say
toxic.
We are evil.
It's like they're separating themselves.
Yeah, that's so true.
But it's still, there's...
It's cringy.
There has to be, like, some subconscious guilt or something there, unless they're like that girl on Dr. Phil that is clearly white, but she's like, oh, the Catch Me Outside girl.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She says she's not talking with a black accent. She is talking with an urban accent. That's what she says.
Or maybe I'm thinking of another girl.
Oh, maybe,
like,
Well, Vicky.
Yes, her.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. I'm black. And it's like, well, you're not. But
her mom said she's not, and she still believes she is.
Well, we've all seen the picture of the guy who was wearing the suit that just said F white people all over it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a fat, obese white dude wearing this suit that literally just said F white people all over it.
It's so stupid.
It's like, dude, you know you're white, right? Have you seen a mirror lately? And I don't think you should have this mentality at all, but like, you shouldn't demonize an entire race of people or dislike an entire race of people for something, some portion of those people, even if 99% of those people, or 99%, even if all but one white person has done this evil thing, that still is no reason to hate all white people, because it's still that one person who has not and who does not fit that stereotype. And you should always give someone the benefit of the doubt to be an individual and not just a monolithic member of this group.
Absolutely.
But too many people look at one another as, oh, when I first came out as trans, I encountered this. I got into an argument online, but he didn't even participate in it. It was this guy called the Liberal Redneck, who made this video of this really cringy family walking through, and it was super cringy. They walked through a Target with a Bible held in the air, quoting Bible verses, because Target had just announced their trans policy, where trans people could use whatever bathroom they wanted.
Oh my God.
I don't even think it's a trans policy. It's just a policy, right? Use whatever. Look, if you've got to pee, I don't care which bathroom
you
use.
Just wash your hands.
Yeah, thank you. Just wash your hands after. So they made this video of them walking through this Target with a Bible held in the air, quoting Bible verses or whatever, none of which had anything to do with, you know, trans people, obviously, because...
Did they have to do with, like, God telling them to murder people or saying slavery is okay or anything like that?
Probably not. But I don't remember what the exact Bible verses were. And the liberal redneck made a video criticizing them and, you know, how it was wrong for them to do this. And he was right on so many things. But then suddenly he goes, yeah, and they're probably racist and all of this other stuff. I'm like, whoa, 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 hold on, dude.
Assumptions.
Because, yeah, there is nothing they did here that even sort of suggests they have anything against black people or whatever color. Presumably he meant racist against black people. But being anti-trans doesn't mean they're racist. So I disputed that. And I was flooded with comments from his supporters saying, what are you talking about? He's speaking up for you. Just shut up and let him make his point. He's trying to make your life better.
Oh, because you needed him to defend you?
Exactly. Needed him to be racist?
And I literally pointed out to people, no, look, I'm speaking for me, not him. He's speaking for him, and he's using people like me to put his voice out there in a stronger way or to make it seem like he's more than he really is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not speaking for me. I'm speaking for me. And you are telling me, the literal trans person, to be quiet and let the straight cis dude speak for me. And you don't see why there's a problem here? Why you're calling yourself a trans ally? Really? Shut up, trans person. The straight guy is talking. I'm a
but
trans
ally. But
they don't
feel like that at all.
They don't. And it's absolutely insane. But that's the world that people live in, where I was no longer a trans person with an individuality at that point or with a personality of my own. I was just a trans person, and I had this march in lockstep with all of the other trans people behind our savior, the great, glorious, straight white man who was going to save us from the oppressions of the other straight, cis white men.
Well, now people have completely bundled in, like, sexual identities or gender identities with, like, being a leftist. And I used to hear this one and be, like, a little cringed by that opinion because I was like, what's the evidence for that? Like, I don't see it. The thing is, I don't see it in my own gay friends' lives. I only see it on the internet. But there was literally a video that came out of this, I think, woman who was saying, I won't give you the title queer. I don't care if you're a gay man. You're not queer if you're not a Marxist or, like, a leftist.
That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make sense.
You have to be openly, like, you have to agree with her on everything for her to call you what you want to be called, or, you know, like, or accept you as one of her. Right?
I'm just so,
like,
confused by that.
And it happens with the recent shooter who came out as gender nonconforming or whatever afterward, and people are like, no, look, he's not really trans. I'm like, but they are. Non-binary is how they came out. Like, but they are. Just because they did something bad doesn't mean you get to suddenly deny their identity, right? Like, they're non-binary. Deal with it. They're trans. Deal with it. Or they're gay. Deal with it. Too many people put other hurdles here. You can't just be gay. You have to also be a Democrat. There's more coming up here. 603-283-6160.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.